Good to be bad, so bad it's good. What's this movie? Do you think we should have got bad? I love dodgy creatures, but we want to know what the redeeming features.
Hello and welcome to the Rufus Project Irredeemable Christmas feature for 2017. I am Trevor Holland, and I am joined by...
Christian Fletcher! Wow, thanks for having me back, Trevor, and I cannot believe that we are at the Irredeemable. I say Irredeemable, gotta make sure we specify Christmas special for the year.
Absolutely, it's like a Christmas present to ourselves, in that we pick something that we don't need to bother to try to redeem. And if you've been keeping an eye on our Facebook page... you'll know what it is. If you haven't, we'll save it for a surprise, or you've probably already seen the podcast artwork anyway. But you know what? I'm going to pretend you don't know just for the fun of it.
Oh, God. I think sometimes we're pretending we don't know. But hey, I don't want to say too much. But I think it's all in the title, Irredeemable Christmas Special. It's so good not having that pressure on us this time.
Absolutely. So, but before we get into our Irredeemable Christmas special for this year, I think we need to have a little look back over the last year and probably work out our most and least redeemable movies that we've checked out. So I've got the list here of what we've watched in 2017. Christian, are you ready?
Yes.
Gonna brace yourself.
Okay. All the memories are going to come flooding back. That's the unfortunate part.
Yeah. Okay. So, deep breath. We watched Fantastic Four, the 2015 version, Harum Scarum, Vampire's Kiss, Mac and Me, Flash Gordon, The Sweetest Thing, Resident Evil Apocalypse, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, Battlefield Earth, Josie and the Pussycats, Thank God It's Friday, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, A Chorus Line, Gods of Egypt, Evita, Spice World, Star Crash, Warcraft, The House, and Deathbed, The Bed That Eats.
Wow, it sounds like you've just rattled off a really bad movie night there, Trevor, even though I know there was some goal amongst that, but there was also a lot of trash.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't recommend doing this as a movie marathon. And if you do, make sure that you set up suitable rehabilitation for afterwards.
The first thing that came to my mind was, yes, you've got to get through 3 hours of Batman vs. Superman. That's included in there. Gosh, that would be a marathon. Yeah, anyway. I'm glad we haven't had to do it all in one sitting.
That, I'm not even going to comment on that. That's too horrifying. So what we should do is let's have a little look at... I suppose, but we'll look at the irredeemable movies first. So I might take the lead on this one, and then I'll let you take the lead on the redeemable, if that's right with you, Christian.
Definitely.
Now, I think you mentioned earlier in a previous chat that you've picked like 2 runner-ups. I'm afraid I did pick 3 runner-ups, and I couldn't work out which ones to take out. So, you know, that's the way it goes. That's how I roll. And boy, was it a tough choice. There is a lot of competition when it comes to both sides of this, really, but more on the irredeemable side. We've watched some awful, awful stuff this year. So what I thought would be looking at is probably going off what had the most going for it when I worked out what was most irredeemable. But I'll go through my dishonorable mentions first. Now, thank God it's Friday. Had so much wrongness and definitely one of the worst characters I have ever seen who gets set up for a romance. And I am talking about the garbage man. He was terrible. Even Jeff Goldblum sharing an elevator with a guy in a gorilla suit cannot save this movie. Coming in also in these dishonorable mentions, one that was a strong contender but didn't quite make it, and that was Battlefield Earth. With just so much inconsistency and a bad guy whose decisions make absolutely no sense at any point in this movie. And The one that came closest, but not quite, was Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. There was so much potential, and it was sourced from some of the most iconic comic book moments, but it tried to do too much, to set up too much and pay tribute to too much all at the same time, which really made it a bit of a mess. Even though there were some good ideas in there, which is what saved this from being the worst of the year. So, my most irredeemable. Very, very tough call, but this sci-fi mythology mashup wins out because of what it had going for it. It had a big name cast, mostly, combined with a significant budget and the ability to make itself look super epic, yet it managed to give us some of the worst CGI along with terrible dialogue delivered poorly to go with its nonsensical plot and the apparent sequel setup for a movie that we will most likely never see. And Christian, that movie is Gods of Egypt from 2016.
Wow. I sort of had a feeling it was going that way as soon as you said mythology. And I'm like, oh, that's right, it all came flooding back. So, wow. And it's interesting to see that you echo some of my thoughts about some of the particular films too. But Gods of Egypt, okay. Don't know if you're waiting for me to spoil yet or if you're going into your best or...
Oh, no. I think we'll cover over that worst and then we can both... have a palate cleanse with the best.
I think that's a good idea. Now looking at that list, Trevor, like, I think it's probably one of the most unusual lists I think we've ever encountered. We're kind of now scraping the bottom of the barrel, or maybe the other term is looking at something a little bit left of center than we wouldn't normally. And there was definitely some titles that I would never have considered to have been brought out. And two of those, well, I do admit I've looked at my list now, and yeah, it looks like I do have three runners up for the worst as well. And and we seem to be very close with a lot of that. Now, you spoke that Battlefield Earth, you know, wasn't too bad. That was almost salvageable, but to me that would have to be one of the most irredeemable films. I cannot get over the fact that John Travolta wore that outfit, tried to do that that impersonation. I can't not think about it. I don't know, and it's him flicking his his dreadlocks around, and I just could not get past that. So that was probably one that lived up to its name as being one of the worst movies in recent times, but. We looked recently at Deathbed, the bed that eats. Even with the whole cult value and the whole camp value of it, I don't think anything could get past the fact that was just a really, really bad movie. But now two titles have stuck out to me, and one being one that you've mentioned earlier. The two being two that I find very hard to actually differentiate when I look back at and thinking about. One was Gods of Egypt, and the other was Warcraft, both from 2016. I even look back and I see them both as the same kind of movie. I echo a lot what you said with Gods of Egypt, with such a fantastic, strong cast and some, some effects that really could have had a lot more work. This could have been so much better. And someone like me who's quite jaded on things like this, it definitely did not win me over at all. So I would have to say the two worst films of the year that definitely stood out to me was Warcraft and Gods of Egypt from 2016. So it's a tie because to me they feel like the exact same movie. I can't remember. I can't remember differentiating the two. So interesting we both have Gods of Egypt in our list there.
Very well. Ty, that's amazing. Wow. Okay, so there we go. Gods of Egypt definitely got the gong, the award, the, I don't know what you would call it, for I guess most irredeemable that we've watched this year, with Warcraft getting a very strong second place, I guess, since you tied it. So there we go. Wow. And let's move on to better things, shall we?
Oh, please.
So, Christian, on the redeemable side, what would you say gets that ultimate honour?
Okay, now with this list, I've also got three runners up as well, but I've also got a bit of I've got an okay column. Now, this is an okay column where maybe I was a bit harsh on it the first time round, and I'm thinking films along the lines of Spice World from 1997. I remember not redeeming that, and in hindsight, sort of thought, well, considering a lot of the other stuff we've watched, it actually wasn't that bad. I enjoyed Chorus Line from 1985, even though it sort of managed to sabotage the original musical it was based on. And then we had Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band from 1978, which honestly wasn't that bad. It was very much an extended music video, but full of Beatles songs and some great performances by Steve Martin and other cameos. Oh, I just remember that awful version of fixing a hole or getting better. Anyway, so I'm just remembering the old guy singing songs from that, and that was really bad. Okay, yeah, yeah. So they're kind of on the angle. And the one I really wanted to like was The House from 2017. It was very meh, and I wish it had been more. So these are ones that sort of managed to surprise me a bit. But in terms of the best, the top four, I was so surprised with Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. It was so clever in its use of pop culture references and sort of being enough to appeal to, say, cult sensibilities, but also that real sort of video gaming culture. So that was great too. And another film which I see very similar is Josie and the Pussycats. Now, I'm so glad I can say I love that, Trevor, because I was obsessed with saying we'd watch that for years. And another one too, almost an obvious one that probably shouldn't have even been on the list in the first place, was Flash Gordon from 1980. I think it almost is in a realm of its own where it's sort of beyond analysis. So that was one where I was definitely surprised. But the one that would take out the top crown, now, I already was a bit of a fan of this film, and, you know, I'd been watching it for quite a long time, so being able to revisit it with the redeeming features hat, it still worked. I know that, you know, it was quite dark, and there were a lot of elements that I went, might not have worked too much, but I would happily sit down and watch this film probably every week, as opposed to watching a movie marathon of all of these movies. And I'm going to say the best film of the year was Evita from 1996.
Ooh. Very nice. And yes, I still think Antonio Banderas. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Oh, that's right. You had quite an obsession, quite a crush in that.
Yeah, I'm still fangirling over Antonio, and I will not take any flack for that. It's perfectly justifiable. Now, funny you mentioned things like Scott Pilgrim and Flash Gordon. I mean, they could have, Scott Pilgrim in particular, could have easily topped my list. But I did admittedly go into that movie already knowing how much I loved it, so giving it at the top rank would feel like cheating. Same with Flash Gordon. Flash Gordon certainly has plenty of issues, but it's still such a fun movie. But again, I can't in good conscience pick those movies because I already know they're great. Another one that surprised me with how fun it was Josie and the Pussycats. Again, it did have a bunch of problems and often came very, very close to being what it was trying to make fun of. But I do like the knowledge that you can now reference it in the future now that we have seen it.
Yes.
And now, speaking of surprises, and don't get me wrong, this movie is truly awful, but it was genuinely fun awful. And its product placements even gave Josie and the Pussycats a run for the money. And that is Mac and Me. I feel this is a movie where it's so bad it's good can truly apply. I still can't quite believe I'm saying that this is amongst my top redeemable movies. But I really had fun watching it.
Wow, I would not have thought you would pick Mac and Me, but I appreciate your angle.
Yeah, so going through my most redeemable movie, and again, what I've done is I've tried to work off what had the most working against it to bring it up. And this is a movie that shows you how to do a sequel. It's even more impressive considering how poorly the first one went when we first looked at it last year. Everything is bigger, brasher, better, and it's a lot more fun. It's still got its problem, but it sticks the landing. And given how poorly most video game movies have performed with us, I feel that's worked very, very hard to earn this award, and that is Resident Evil Apocalypse from 2004.
Wow, interesting. That's on my sub-list as stood out as very disliking. So,
I believe you redeemed that one, Christian.
I don't know.
You did.
Just.
We redeemed that one.
In hindsight, it wasn't a good idea. But yes, I can't go back on what I said. So yes, interesting. And I'm hoping we will be able to watch some more from the series eventually, or maybe not.
Well, there's only 7 of them all.
So plenty to choose from. So
6 or 7, something like that. I can't remember. We'll get there. Okay, so to sum up, movies to avoid are Gods of Egypt, definitely, and Warcraft, if you're on Christian's side there. I do remember almost redeeming Warcraft, so I can't quite come with you on that one, but that's all good. And movies that you should check out, Evita, and Resident Evil Apocalypse, even though Christian doesn't quite agree with
me. Yeah, I don't want to admit to it now. And I probably wouldn't watch that as a double feature, because that would just be strange. But there you go. That can be a redeeming features double feature for the year. There you go.
There we go. And so that wraps up that part. So we will need to move on. I think what I should do is just put a little musical interlude in here. So enjoy this interesting rendition of the 12 Days of Christmas.
One faster on the 12th day of Christmas, the turtles gave to me 12 April O'Neil autographs. Never catch up now. Five video games made it. Four manhole covers, three skateboards, two comic books, and a pizza with pepperoni.
Can't believe you got through that one. It's only like the longest song ever written.
Well, that was a song, and that was from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, We Wish You a Turtle Christmas. And I've forgotten what year it came out.
1994, I believe.
1994, was it 96? I'm not sure. I actually did not jot down which year it was. That's quite all right. I don't think it really matters.
Oh, the fact that this exists is probably bad enough as it is. And being, well, I was going to say huge Turtles fan, I loved them as a kid, you know, the good Turtles back when it was the late 80s and early 90s, and I'd never heard of this before.
Yeah, I was just digging through looking for, I suppose, possibilities and making a short list, and came across a YouTube link of this entire thing and just watched a little bit of it and went, is that, are we, will we? And we did. We did. And we certainly did.
Oh, God. But we mentioned it from the 90s. It definitely has an early 90s vibe straight off with it. I couldn't believe. Like, I was thinking, I can imagine maybe watching this on Saturday morning TV, but then I'm thinking kids would be quite horrified. Yeah, I don't think, I'm glad. I probably they'd be scarred any memory of it. Sorry.
Yes. I'll come back to something along those lines as we chat about it, let's just say. But even though we're not trying to redeem this, and trust me, there would be no possible way we could try to redeem this, but we're still going to keep some of the usual structure. So I've got a synopsis of We Wish You a Turtle Christmas here. On Christmas Eve, the turtle realize they've forgotten to get Splinter a gift. They hit the town to try to figure out what to get him. The kid fans join them, and lots of singing, dancing, and some rapping and shenanigans ensues.
Is that what their names are? Kid fans. I have to take note of that as a cast member name. But yeah. And all of that big adventure all happening in the total of 21 minutes. So they've got to, you know, move on quite fast with the story. And there really isn't much story because it's pretty much all singing.
That's right. Well, funnily enough, there's no awards for this one, strangely enough, but it did get 1.8 out of 10 on IMDb, with an estimated budget of, wait for this, Christian, $5,000.
I'm even baffled by that. I'm like, yeah, where did this money go? And it wouldn't be on the costume, surely. That's the scary thing. It probably did go onto the costumes.
Well, it certainly didn't go in with the actual, I suppose, vocal talent, because you have Eric Anzalone providing the speaking voices for Donatello, Raphael, and Splinter, while Alfredo Miller voices Leonardo and Michelangelo.
Just to make it even more confusing. But then when they start singing different songs, they'll start putting accents on, and it's like the voices change every time anyway, every scene.
So, yeah, when you think about it, though, when they were doing the voice work for this, that means that because it's primarily just two people, they were having to do this dialogue with themselves.
It would have been funny to see in the recording studio. Surely by at that stage they would have gone, this is not going to work. It's okay, it's only 20 minutes. It can't outstay its welcome. Because honestly, right, the existence of this, is quite baffling. And one of those situations where anything they can lump together with something and make it Christmas-related, it's one of those sort of, some things just don't work, having a Christmas version of it. And I think this is probably one of those perfect examples.
Now, this is actually something, because you mentioned the money certainly wouldn't have gone on the costumes, because there were some cheap ass looking costumes. And I could have gone back to check for this, but there was no way I was going to rewatch any of this for any reason. Even though allegedly, during the performance of Gotta Get a Gift for Splinter, the actor playing Leonardo's genitals pop out and visibly hang out of his costume.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I'd like to think that had been edited out in some way, but I don't think that many people have seen it to even know.
I don't know. I mean, potentially, I don't remember noticing that, but I wasn't trying to look too hard at the turtles because, frankly, those costumes scared me.
Oh, I know. It was like...
I'm thinking, do I just go back to that song and have another look? No, I can't. I can't go back. I can't watch any of this for any reason.
And gosh, when you're even saying that about a 21-minute movie, I say movie, gosh, special, even a special, and it feels funny, it's probably just like an extended ad break. And that's the funny thing about it, too, it's like it was designed to be on TV with one song and then it cutting to, you know how they always have the black fade out for the commercial breaks, and you're thinking, gosh, that's a lot of commercial breaks when this was on TV, but I have a feeling it might not have made it there.
Yeah, I think they may have been expecting, hey, it's the Turtles, we'll get tons of sponsorship.
And even though it felt at one stage, I know we'll get to it, but I did feel at one stage when they were mentioning all the presents they're going to buy for Splinter, it did feel like a lot of product placement. Even though we weren't seeing brands, I just felt that for a moment there we were doing a sponsor moment. So,
But
I'm a huge fan of the 1990 live action Turtles, and gosh, I craved for that so much. And I even, as soon as the soundtrack started, I'm just like, oh, where's it? Kind of craved. Said no one ever. I wanted MC Hammer and Vanilla Ice to be back, please. Better.
Give us a ninja rap by Vanilla Ice, please. Anything but this.
Because I assume that it's because the rapping came in more with the movie rather than in the original TV show, I think. So I don't know. It felt very much like this was the poor man's live action movie. I think even Turtles in Time would win an Oscar over this one.
Well, I remember we actually redeemed that one. So
I've got to stop being cruel to it. I think I've been mean to it a couple of times. It suffers from second sequel. That's why.
Yeah, it does. It does. Now, this is all baseline, so I have dug up a review, which I suppose sums up what most people think of this movie, and it's not the Turtles I grew up with. I don't see how kids could even like this kind of stuff, but I guess even the Turtles had to get in on the Christmas spirit. The TMNT should stick to eating pizza and fighting crime, because rappin' ain't their thing.
Sums it up well, accent and all. And that's the thing, that they need to focus on fighting crime, and all that sort of stuff's thrown completely out the window. We're not given sort of any connection with the Turtles. I was even waiting for April O'Neil to come through. That could have been sort of a way for them to be celebrating Christmas more of a human way, rather than these turtles in this sewer that was felt a bit more like a MTV music studio.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the lack of an April O'Neil was a big surprise. Not as much a surprise as children miraculously appearing in the sewer, or not running screaming when the turtles walk in where they're playing makeshift drums on the street and then start doing a really bad dance where apparently one of their genitals pops out. Those kids just gotta turn up and think, you should not be there. None of this is appropriate for any of you children. Run, because frankly, the grimaces and the teeth made me fear that the turtles may have developed a taste for human flesh.
Oh, this is seeing a really underbelly version of it. Oh my gosh. Well, that's the thing. Whenever you saw their faces, there were these either really creepy mouth movements or these really toothy smiles. You couldn't kind of get an in-between. Because one thing you notice with the live-action movies is they were very clever with the way they made sort of the lips and the, you know, it looked a lot more realistic. They didn't even bother with this. And they didn't even bother trying to make them even match the... match the words. I noticed it more later with the Splinter character, which we will get to. But I noticed that was just literally someone going, bah, 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 bah. no care whatsoever. Which is funny considering they were known Christmas songs that they were probably singing at the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everything about this is cheap. I even noticed the opening credits. Originally, I jotted down that they appear to be done in PowerPoint just off a single slide. But I thought, hang on, no, they probably wouldn't have had PowerPoint back then. And even if they did, they probably wouldn't have spent that much on this. It was just like a single card where they just changed the words as it went through.
Oh, I couldn't believe it, you know. I've got here, it looks like it was done in Microsoft Paint, but as you said, yeah, it was a bit older than that. But let's just say I personally, I know we find out later that they, We Wish You a Turtle Christmas, they sing, but I don't know, I wish it was called We Wish You a Turtly Christmas. It kind of felt like a wasted opportunity, but anyway, it doesn't really roll off the tongue as well as Wish You a Turtle Christmas. And honestly, like the design of this, not much effort was put really in at all, in thought at all, even with the title.
Yeah, and then it just starts. We give no effort. How do you start a Christmas special? You have them around a Christmas tree and then have one of them do reggae deck the halls with turtle-based lyrics.
Oh, that's and that's the one thing I notice about this special. Pretty much every song is they'll change the lyrics to be something applicable to the turtles, but a little bit too obvious after a while, especially when you go, okay, we've heard enough references to pizza and pepperoni, but we'll get to that. Oh my god, I can't believe I remember that. I've written down some lyrics here, but of course I can't remember the melody. It's probably a good thing, but just hearing them sing lines like "We laugh and sing, we're the turtles." I don't think those crime fighters ever really sang. I know they laughed, but yeah, I just thought that was quite strange. Again, putting them in this universe that just doesn't work for the characters.
Yeah, if there's ever a time I wanted Shredder and Krang to turn up and just wreck things, it would have been during the special.
Well, it's funny you say that. I was watching it for most of it going, oh, actually, Splinter's really lucky he didn't turn up for this because he'd have a really bad attempt at his costume. Well, we did find that eventually. but the whole time I'm scratching my head going, okay, fair enough. It's fair enough. They're celebrating Christmas and all that. But I'm like, they've only got one person to buy for. How could they have forgotten to buy something for Splinter?
Well, they...
Too busy eating pizza.
Each other, I guess. I think there was a conversation at some point about they were saying how awesome their presents were for each other, and then apparently they all denied being the one who was meant to get a gift for Splinter, and they had to rush out with only 2 hours until the shops close. I think you're not actually wearing any clothes. You've got nowhere to take your money. You don't make money. You live in a sewer. How are you buying these presents?
And I'd love to be a fly on the wall as they went to the shopping centres to buy this stuff. Oh, sorry, but everyone would be in such a mad rush on Christmas Eve that they probably wouldn't notice.
And then there was so much time just, like, turning towards the camera. Like, you know how people mug for the camera when things are a bit zany. It's like, stop trying to mug at the camera because you can't change your facial expression.
It just made it even more creepy when you had to look at them front on like that.
And I was like, ah!
But yeah. We mentioned the use of the lyrics and things, but things like "Trim the tree with Donatello," you got the feeling that someone, I could just see them when they were brainstorming this. I'm just brainstorming a whole heap of ideas on a page. Okay, put every reference to the Ninja Turtles as you can think of, and what lyrics can we change? Because that's pretty much how everything that we knew about the festive season is kind of thrown out the window, or anything we liked about those songs.
Yeah. I've got nothing else to add to that because I'm just going back and reliving the horror in my head.
Well, I don't know if it's one of those things too. Like, I know they were creepy looking, but I'm thinking, as a cartoon, I don't know if this would have been heaps better, probably would have been, but I don't think it would have been that much better. I don't know. It would have been a lot less creepier.
Well, the turtles probably would have at least had some more character.
Oh, definitely.
In the cartoon.
There's only so much you can do with a jaw that moves loosely. That's all it does.
I think to make the mouth move, the people inside the costume were probably just rocking their heads back and forth. I don't think there was any actual rhyme or reason to those mouth movements beyond, if you shake your head a bit, the mouth will move slightly.
And I got the feeling, too, a lot of the time they probably only felt like they had one take to do this. So much of it felt like that.
Yeah, indeed. And just random montage shots of them just throwing, like, shoes and other things back and forth anything? Are you actually buying anything, or no? Yes, what? You sort of buy one gift for Splinter. Oh God, why are you suddenly doing an opera song? Stop it!
I know that was it, this is excruciating in total, but that was the worst bit. I'm like, okay, get through it, you know. And when they were going through all the ideas that they want to give Splinter for Christmas, I'm thinking, I didn't realize they were actually buying all of them. So they eventually give them all to him, you know. But because, of course, we have to have that for the 12 days of Christmas, or it just wouldn't work. But. But what was the part I did love the line, what do you get the ninja master who has everything? just like, oh gosh, you know. I think they would have been better off just singing to the camera the songs without having changed the lyrics. It would have been still creepy, but nowhere near as excruciating, I think.
Yeah. But worse than the changed lyric songs were the original songs. I mean, really, you go, got to get a gift for Splinter, where they're dancing with those kids playing like buckets or whatever. Again, those kids would have just run screaming in real life. And when they do get back with the presents, I mean, I was surprised it took like 10 minutes until we got to a rap song in a mid-90s television special with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I knew the rap would be bad. I had no doubt. But the rap was a level of horror I had never anticipated.
Oh, again, bring back the soundtrack, you know, creators from the original movies. Gosh, yeah, it was so bad. But it's like it just had to bring that rap element in to just try and tie it in. It just tried to make us remind us of the 1990 live action one the whole time. And you're like, guys, you're just a pale imitation. You will never do it. Oh, God. But yes, I know we've already mentioned, yes, Raphael singing like Pavarotti being the most excruciating bit, but I do laugh at all the different things that they're saying. I know they're just rambling about things I could possibly buy him, but I'm thinking, I could really see a rat having a need for golf clubs, a bowling ball, and I think they said an ice pick? Ice picks or something? I don't know.
Again, this guy lives in the sewer, so I'm thinking you don't need to be too choosy.
Oh, but and then after all that, they ended up going with a pretty much looked like a pizza, a block mounted pizza, or maybe it was actually supposed to look like a fresh pizza, but to me it just looked like they'd framed a pizza and glazed it or something like that to give him as a present.
Yeah, I would actually believe that was a pizza retrieved from the sewers. That actually is probably the one thing that makes sense in this entire thing. But it turns out, oh, look, they got him 12 presents.
Oh, so what could this possibly lead to? I might add, by this stage, we haven't seen Splinter, and I'm waiting in horror, kind of, in anticipation to see how bad his costume will be. And he didn't disappoint.
No, I'm pretty sure they obviously just went and got the cheapest Turtle and Splinter costumes that they could find. Did Splinter's mouth even move? I don't think you could really. I don't know if I could even discern much of a face on that thing.
He was doing the one where his mouth was just ba 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 constantly. Like, it wasn't even any attempt to fit in with the lyrics. So it must be like what you said before. Right, it just bounced. That one even more so than the Turtles.
I think maybe because as this song, this extra awful, as you heard at the start of this 12 Days of Christmas, kept going on and on, I'm still thinking, how did they pay for all this stuff? And at one point, it just goes, they get through one round of it. It just goes, there's more! Why is there more? Come on, don't do more. You are going to do the entire thing. And what was it, 5 yo-yos? Why are there only 4?
Yeah, I know. Well, it took me half. Glad they actually held up the things, because half the things they were saying, I didn't even know what they were making reference to. But yeah, the yo-yos thing confused me a little bit too. But it was just, but I did love, I can't remember which turtle said it at the end. I think it was Leonardo. And at the very end, he goes, it's only the longest song ever. And it was probably, I felt like yelling at the TV, thank you. Didn't you guys realize this when you were making it?
The one thing in this entire debacle that I can agree with was how long. I think they do mention it again over the closing credits about how long the song was. And he goes, and then they quickly change their tune because Splinter overhears it. Ho, 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 ha, ha.
Which is, it's funny because to me, a rat and turtles that have grown up through this ooze, I don't see them as being the most festive. And considering, as you said, it being his favourite song, yeah, trying way too hard to tie it in.
Yeah, and this is the point where they started singing the song, and then suddenly there were kids everywhere. Their kid friends just suddenly turned up out of nowhere. I'm thinking, where did these kids come from? Why are all these children in a sewer? Isn't this meant to be a secret lair? What's going on? Are these like just street kids that followed the sounds and were hoping to beg some of the stuff but end up being singing along, probably out of sheer terror that if they didn't sing along, the turtles would turn on them?
Well,
because that would be my fear.
Oh, maybe if there was a follow-up, maybe we're best not to see what happens next, them running off terrified. But I don't know. They seem, well, there was a lot of shots too that you know, I said it got the feeling like they only filmed it in sort of one shot. The kids aren't even swaying in the same direction, you know. I think because they're probably so terrified, and a lot of them keep looking around, probably like, I hope that turtle's not right behind me. But there's literally no care in the world, and I don't think it'd be one of those things where if you were a kid in this, you'd tell people you were in it because, yeah.
Yeah, well, I did notice, like, during that 12 Days of Christmas, and which very quickly goes into We Wish You a Turtle Christmas, it seemed like half the kids didn't actually know the words. And particularly the Turtle Christmas song, the words weren't that complicated, but they kept cutting to the kids, and it's just like, that kid's just opening his mouth randomly because he doesn't know the words.
He's probably like every other character in this special, is just moving their mouth at any time. I'm going to do the same thing. And that's the thing. I'd like to think they weren't paid too much for this. It was probably all the kids of the people wearing the suits. Hey, we need you for this shoot. We don't care why you're in the sewer. Just be in there. Like, I know it wouldn't make sense, but they could have at least had it, I don't know, not in the sewers and made it a bit more of a fun celebratory thing, not this creepy underground thing with these kids that just keep randomly turning up.
The thing is, I would not be surprised if there had been something like, you know, some of those kids probably won like a competition or something to appear in a TV special with their favourite Ninja Turtles, and then they got there and just went, we've been tricked. This is a horrible, horrible trick.
I think some of them are probably still in therapy from it too.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. And it's they may have got a small amount of money from that $5,000 budget, but it's long gone in psychiatrist fees.
Like, look, they're all pretty scary to look at, but I must admit, I think Splinter is more terrifying. Just got this giant cat head. Like, oh, that kind of looks like a rat. Yeah, that'll do. They send the work experience person out to go and get costumes.
That's why I can't remember what he looked like, because I took one look at him and I think immediately just my mind just pasted it over with just some sort of filter or something, because now I can see it clearly and I wish I couldn't.
Oh, I know. Don't want to be reminded. It's bad enough you showing me the cover art for this, but actually having to view the 21 minutes. And I say 21 minutes because you feel every minute.
Yeah. Yeah, this seemed to it felt so much longer.
And
it's
they
just
did,
like
and they did
it just
oh sorry go sorry
just every time I thought that's got to be it just something else happened. I'm going, no, you're only 20 minutes long, how can I still be watching this?
Well, considering they rounded it up pretty much 15 or 16 minutes into it, I'm thinking to myself, there's still 5 minutes, because of course we've got to watch to the very, very end of the redeeming features. But I found funny in a 21 minute special, I think there was about 3 minutes of credits in total. That says to me, you're trying to pad it out just a little bit. Surely they had ideas. Surely they could have, instead of employing those kids, they could have got someone to play April O'Neil, like, and I don't know, breathe some kind of life into it.
Yeah, I mean, because yeah, that would be the perfect human element for this. April O'Neil turns up to sort of like, you know, help them with Christmas, because, you know, they're turtles living in a sewer with a rat. You know, it's not really a festive place. So that's a logical choice to make. But as we know, logic didn't come into this. I mean, I'm still questioning the logic of, we get to the end of that insufferable, never-ending We Wish You a Turtle Christmas song. I go, thank f- the closing credits are rolling. And then they start singing "We Wish You Eternal Christmas" all over again. I'm just going, I just heard this song, why are you playing it again?
Oh, look, it doesn't happen in films often, but I've noticed when that happens, there's something not right. You should never do, like, play the song you've just heard again. It's quite strange, and especially when they're not very good songs to start with. I think the only thing around that time that I appreciated was that they said, have a turdly awesome new year. I thought, I'll pay that. That's about it. That's probably, if we had to redeem this movie, the only redeemable feature would be they said totally awesome new year. but yeah, and the end credits, they didn't seem as photoshopped as the earlier ones, but there were some funny ones on there. I had to laugh, Trevor, considering how bad this is. I had to laugh about I don't know the gentleman's name, but it said for his unending devotion to getting this project off the ground or something like that. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, if this was your big ticket, yeah, you should stop dreaming now.
And that guy probably just thinks that's where my career died.
Oh,
with my name appeared over the witty banter that closes this out.
Now we've had witty banter recently with the Spice World movie with the Spice Girls, and that was interesting and a bit awkward. Not as awkward as this, especially when it continues for what felt like another minute after the end credits finished with just the voices. I thought maybe the version I was watching had got out of sync or something.
Yeah, I don't know. And considering that these five characters talking are voiced by two people, I'm speechless. Sorry, I've just suddenly got to a point where it's like, I really can't think of anything else to say about this abomination.
I'm so glad we don't have to try and redeem this. Wow, because yeah, it is quite hard to think of anything good about this, and almost. Shame on you for making this the Ninja Turtles Christmas special. They deserve so much better. And I think, Trevor, we need to make our April O'Neil version, because at least that sounds something a little bit more educational for kids. But it might be the, dare I say it, the Michael Bay version. That might be even just as scary.
Oh God.
Oh, no, sorry. I wasn't supposed to. I think I've gone the whole year not being able to, not mentioning his name.
Yeah.
And I ruined it in the last few minutes.
I'm not sure if this is worse. If this is actually worse than the Michael Abomination that we had to watch. But that's only because it's a lot shorter. I think that's the only thing that puts this just above his Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie that we watched last year.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's nowhere near as long, even though it still felt like twice as long than it actually was.
Oh, gosh.
And you mentioned about this not being for kids. Like, my kids refused to watch it. They both came by at various points. My youngest took one look and just went, what is this? Oh, and just walked away. And my eldest took one look, and Susie heard him as he went past the kitchen, just going, hell no.
See, it goes to show you can't just use the characters that people know and love and make them fall in love, because this doesn't, you know, and make them interested in it. Because, like I said, I don't think this works very well. I don't think the turtles work in a Christmas environment without that human element that we were talking about. Otherwise, it's just a sewer rat and turtles dancing around with fan kids.
Yeah, I mean, the kids in the background certainly don't offer any human touch, because basically there is a set decoration. There is no purpose for them being there. There's no reason for them being there. There's no logic for them being there. They're just there to make it more kiddie, which actually just, honestly, just makes it more creepy.
Oh, especially considering how dark. I don't know if it was the version I was watching too. But it was so dark, it felt like, yeah, you'd stepped out of, I don't know, an 80s hair rock MTV music video clip with lots of smoke and stuff like that. And I thought, you know, this is just not an inviting environment for kids. And you're not sort of getting those Christmas colours that are thrown at you too much. It just felt like too much lighting. And, yeah, it might have just been the version I was watching. It was quite hard to see.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that the version on YouTube is a rip of a bootleg copy.
Okay, I can say that's the version I was watching, so I'm sure that's probably the main way of seeing it.
I got to admit, I did actually look for if this is possible, and there is one copy on VHS available on Amazon. That was all I could find.
God, and I think that might sit there for quite a while longer. It's probably a collector's item, scary thing.
I just can't. I just don't. I mean, I tried to compare this to the previous ones we've watched. So just to remind people, last year we watched He-Man and She-Ra, the Christmas special. The year before that, we watched Grumpy Cat's Worst Christmas Ever. And the first time around, we did start off with the Star Wars Holiday Special. And this is so bad. This gives the Star Wars Holiday Special a run for its money. Yeah, I mean, it's only a fraction of a length, but it packs in so much crap per second that it's hard to say which is worse. I mean, the Star Wars Holiday Special is just overlong and stretched out and just full of bad ideas, where this is just absolutely short and full of bad ideas.
It's 20 minutes too long.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as that reggae version of Deck the Hall started, it was just like, okay, I think I've had enough already, and this is the first thing that happens. Oh boy.
Oh no. And you felt no concern. Like, I actually didn't really care that they'd forgotten to get a present for Splinter. I think I was just more in shock about how scary looking they were, and once I saw what Splinter actually looked like, I thought, oh okay, here we go. And you know, I don't think I'd want to see this on first generation VHS, because I think clear it would be even more horrifying.
Yeah those teeth.
Oh, those... I'm gonna have nightmares. No, I'm just not that Splinter costume. Oh no. Anyway. Oh. Just looked like a cat running around, didn't know what they were doing. But I think pretty much anyone in that didn't know what they were doing. So I don't know what his name is, but yeah, that guy that put his undying devotion into this project, sorry buddy.
I'm thinking that his undying devotion probably led to his early death, I'm guessing. Yeah, it's a bit dark, but then again,
so is this.
This is probably one of the least Christmassy things I've seen in my entire life.
Oh, definitely. And I know I keep talking about the 1990 movie because I love it so much, but for someone who's a huge fan of that and grew up, you know, I was of the era that I probably... I'm surprised I didn't see this movie. I mean, this special, but no comparison. And how dare you? Let's just say that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, God.
I really don't think there's much more we can say about this. I mean, I can't see how there's any way when we do this next year it can possibly be worse. So. There's a positive to take away from this whole experience.
That could be the redeemable feature.
Whatever we watch next year will seem far better in comparison.
Oh, God. I'm glad it wasn't too long. And, and because we've watched some much longer movies that are just as bad, so...
Mm-hmm. So, again, if you do want to check out We Wish You a Turtle Christmas from 1994, I have checked that now, it is... available in full on YouTube, but I, with all sincerity, I just gotta say, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't make the poor choices that we've made, even in the purpose of bringing your podcast. It's just something that you don't need to see. It's fine. Just move on with your life and watch something of much higher quality like Blood Rain. I don't know. That's Oscar Do. That was, I think, that was my most hated movie that we've watched in the general podcast. Still,
yeah. Another one that you seem to mention a lot of is Thank God It's Friday. That really, you really didn't like that. Oh God! I started putting my list together of the next season's ideas for movies. So I some interesting ones on there that I didn't think would be tackling, so I'm up for the challenge again if you are.
Yeah, well, I've already started compiling a few, and I've got a few ideas that I hope will come into fruition. Speaking of ideas coming into fruition and moving on to things, if you are following the Rufus Project YouTube channel, we are taking a break with the one credit challenges, but I'm actually working on some ideas for tying that in more closely with the podcast. No, I don't want to say too much right now, but hopefully come the new year, not only will we be back with a fresh new season of the Rufus Project podcast, a fresh new season of What the History podcast, hopefully we'll be back with a lot more content on YouTube that ties in a lot closer. So stay tuned to all of them things.
Definitely. And I know I've always got lots of things happening, but I'm rounding up for the year. So in order to keep updated, check out Christian Fletcher Events on Facebook or christianfletcher.com. And I'll be able to let you know about the events as they come through for 2018. But it's been a big year.
Absolutely. So all the relevant links are going to be just down there in the podcast description. Look, I know I usually go through all the contact details, but again, it's all down there in the podcast description. And I need to watch something that will hopefully take my mind off the turtle thing. I don't even want to say it now because I'm trying to push it out of my head already because we are wrapping up.
Let's just not mention it again.
That's a good idea. We shall never... But no, you know we're going to mention
it. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's inevitable. Usually the most hated movies are the ones that I can't resist bringing up again. So stick that knife in a little bit deeper.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think it's the worst movies that often make the best podcasts. So... There you go. There's a nice dichotomy. I can't even talk now.
That's a redeemable feature.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think we've rambled on long enough. We're well past. I think we've talked longer about this than it actually goes for, which is quite an achievement. So I think all I have to say is, Christian, thanks so much for coming along on the Rufus Project podcast ride this year with its highs and lows. and everyone out there, look, enjoy your Christmas break however you enjoy it. And I guess we'll be back in the new year. Keep an eye on that Facebook page for all the updates, because that's frankly mostly where I put the stuff.
And thank you so much, Trevor, for, you know, taking on board the movies I suggest, and being able to do the redeeming features is a real thrill, and definitely an eye opener. So I'm looking forward to another season of weird, wacky, and hopefully redeemable movies.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get a few in there over the space of a year.
Would be a good idea.
indeed. So until next year, enjoy whatever you enjoy, and we'll catch you then.
Good to be bad, so bad it's good. What's it? Do you think we should got that? I love dodgy creatures, but we want to know what the redeeming features.
Boy? Oh boy.
Christian and Trevor on the case, watching movies from all over the place. I'm BB, said it's bad, but we want to know, is it fun to be had?
Boy? Oh boy.
Redeeming features.
Christmas Eve and all is ready.
Fa la 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 la.
No bebop and no rock steady.
Fa la 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 la.
Let's all sing this part together.
Fa la 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 la. Merry Christmas to the shredder.